Good afternoon. It's 4:30. It's time to start the Town Discovery Bay Park and Rec Committee regular meeting. If I could get roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. This is the opportunity for public comments. If there's any members of the public on the line that wishes to address the board, here's your opportunity. You'll be given 3 minutes. Do we have any members of the public? Hearing none, I will close public comments and go to approval of draft minutes. Can I get a motion?
Make a motion to approve draft minutes.
I'll second that. Motion has been approved. Presentation, Park and Rec update.
Okay, so we have many updates, brief updates for you today. The first one is we are on Instagram. So we started Instagram, and so thank you, Monica, for getting that started to us. Our handle is lowercase TODB 94505, and as of today, we have 37 followers and 8 posts. So we're on. Our second update is Halloween. So every year, the Town of Discovery Bay participates in the school Halloween parade. So we set up a booth right next to the sheriff's office, and we handed out candy. Director Goteau and Director Graves came down to take a peek and visit. So we stuck them with handing out some candy to some of the cute kids, and then Director Callahan was down there as well. So, but thank you. It was really fun. So then I'm going to pass this over to Monica to give a couple of updates.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
If we go back to the Instagram?
Yeah.
So just, I'm not that familiar with it. So is the intent to have the same, is Facebook and Instagram supposed to be the same as far as what we're presenting?
It is. It's just two different ways to push out information. There are some people that are only on Facebook, and there are some people that like to use Instagram. So we're going to push the same information on Facebook to Instagram and Instagram to Facebook for right now.
I sort of thought of it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I like the content that's gone on it. I like the stories that have gone on. You guys have done a really nice job at doing it and branding it. And I think it's just another way to communicate to our community. So, and Instagram, I think, is short and sweet. So you kind of don't, like, get lost in
pretty simple so far.
The rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
So, great job.
Yep. Thank you. All right.
Okay. Let the record reflect that squeaking noises. Is not from a board member.
But a stuff sheet.
The first update I would like to give you is about the pool. So we passed our pre-plaster inspection. Cleanup and debris from around the pool, meaning the leftover concrete and rebar and that kind of stuff, is going to be is scheduled for cleanup this Friday. And then plaster is scheduled for next week, November 9th. We will begin filling the pool immediately. You have to, or you take the risk of the plaster cracking. So we'll get that filled. And then start the post-plaster maintenance schedule, which is brushing and chemicals and cleaning out the debris, because it'll kind of flake away and do that. So that is... that's where we're at.
So is the plan to still try and open it, or are we at a point in the season that it will open next year?
Well, weather being what it is, I would think next year, because we still also have all the dirt around the pool to address and the chemical tanks to get in. So right now we'll be hand feeding the chemicals till we get that portion done.
Well, this would be the time we would close it anyways, right? Or last month?
Oh, it would have already been closed. It would, it's never been open at this part of the season with the weather and rain and that's my pool update.
Okay, so
yeah.
Once they fill it, then they have to go back and they have to scrub the sides and...
Yeah, you have to fill it right away, and then there's a 10-day, what they call post-plaster maintenance schedule, where they brush it, vacuum it, put chemicals in, and that has to be done twice a day for 10 days.
And then what?
And then you go with your regular maintenance schedule.
Got it.
But it's not twice a day for 10 days. You know, I mean,
right.
And it's different depending on the time of year. Obviously in the summer when it's hot, right, and you get more growth and heat and chemical burning from the sun, it requires it. But we're going kind of nice because we're going into the winter months, so it won't take quite as much.
Is that process our responsibility or Adam's?
Ours.
That's ours.
It is.
and I imagine our staff knows how to do that.
You know what? I'm hiring NAS to take care of that post plaster because they're the professionals, and we've put so much into this. We want to make sure that we're doing everything perfect. So NAS is going to take it. And they're the company, I'm sorry, that installed, took out all of our equipment, put all of the equipment back in, built the tough shed. So they've been a part of this project from the get-go. So it was the perfect fit.
So will they do the regular maintenance on it?
I'm working on that. Yeah. That's my goal. So I'm still working on those numbers.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be fantastic, though. any other cool questions? Okay. The second thing I wanted to update you on was the tennis courts. Tennis court one, I'm not sure if your that fence has been very wobbly for a very long time. So we hired Delta Fence to come out. They've already put in 4 new posts. So that is going to be, it was to a point in some of these windstorms where really concerned that that was going to come down, and it has the old electrical box on it and everything else. So it was in dire need of some attention. So I'm really excited we're getting that done. They put the posts in, they're setting, they'll be back tomorrow to attach them and put in the new top railings because it's so old and it's been missing for a very long time. So that is getting fixed.
Did something fail or?
It's just old.
It's very old. Those posts weren't set right. I think like
They loosened up in the ground.
Exactly.
So is that part of like our regular maintenance?
Regular maintenance.
Okay.
Yeah, that came out of regular maintenance budget money that we have to.
That's what we're there
for. To keep everything going. You know, you don't buy a new car and not change the oil. So we just have to keep up with this preventative stuff before it gets to that point again.
Yeah.
You have to change the oil.
Sorry. Yeah, you might want to.
Every 5 years.
The other thing we want to let you all know is that Sunday, November 7th, don't forget to change your clocks. Daylight savings ends. It'll be dark around 5 o'clock. So the community center building and grounds hours will change. It does every year. When it's dark, nobody should be back there in the dark anyway. So the hours will be Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. And weekends, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. The building itself will remain open later when we've got rentals and classes and things like that. We'll staff for that. So if we've got, you know, for example, a Zumba class going on, we're not going to turn that kind of stuff away because it's 5 o'clock. We're going to bring in classes.
What are our hours? Do we close 5 p.m. no matter what? Winter, fall, spring, summer?
No. The community center has definite seasonal hours depending on how light and dark it is and what's going on inside the building. So right now we're open till 6:30 because it gets dark about 6:30. But then Sunday it goes boom, 5 o'clock, and it's dark.
So in the summertime are we open later than 6:30 because it's lighter than?
Well, pre-pandemic we were because we had the staff. That kind of changed everything. So this summer, once we get ramped up and we have to rebuild this whole program, then we would stay open because we would typically have classes going on almost every night. So we would have high school students, part-time staff working the evenings. So that is the goal, to get back to that. Yeah, absolutely. That's how it's always been. What else? Oh, I'm so excited. I met with Reyes, who is Byron Union School District's superintendent. He and I had the most exciting meeting and building that relationship with them. He came here and met with me. I showed him the grounds, what we do. I kind of gave him a little bit of history, too, just because I've been here so long. As far as before the town owned this, how the schools used to use the pool when it was the athletic club. So I was telling him I would love, once we get everything pretty again, he said, I would love to be that superintendent that's standing back there flipping hamburgers and hot dogs for the 8th grade barbecue or something like that. So I'm really excited about this relationship. I sent him some information that I received from CPRS, or California State Parks, actually, where they're having all fourth graders and their families can get free passes to 19 state parks this summer. So I sent that to him. He does a monthly newsletter to everybody, so he attached that. And he is so excited to promote any of our programs, so you should check out the BUSD website. He's got our activities guide on there, active link that will take people directly to register. He's promoting the for fourth graders and their families to go see our California State Parks. And he put the little blurb about our youth paint nights. So really excited about that.
I think that's an awesome relationship to build.
Oh, it was very exciting. He and I were both excited.
He's amazing.
I told him a little bit about my history, that I've been with this district, so that just kind of developed, I think, an instant bond right there, too.
Yeah.
So it was a good, really successful, great meeting.
And maybe there's a possibility you might be able to use as a conduit to get more lifeguards and staff for next year.
Well, middle school's young to be a lifeguard.
Oh, that's good.
It's middle school and elementary. It's
okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was higher than that.
But that doesn't mean that those families don't have high schoolers, right? So right. I would still ask him. We couldn't, obviously, hire middle schoolers to do that because you have to be 16. But that doesn't mean if he puts that on their website that they have families that are in high school. So, yeah.
So do you think that this relationship will be something that can maybe potentially bring some more youth activities here, pairing up with BUSD to do that and kind of forge some of those relationships between the three schools that are part of Byron Union School?
Yeah, and I mean, the sky's the limit with whatever we can do. And he and I talked about this. The challenging thing for Excelsior is getting kids.
Yeah, your parents can do that. You know what I mean?
Oh, this was his, you know, what he and I talked about. So, in other words, for busing, thinking about those kids that are bused is, I think, where his mind was.
That's right.
So there's always workarounds for everything.
I think it would be nice to see, I mean, a lot of our families and kids go out to Brentwood to do some of their activities. It would be cool at some point if some of those activities were brought here and it stayed local. Because they're going to school with those kids anyways,
right?
And doing that, and I think that just makes us stronger as a community.
Yeah. He even talked about an interest in renting like our arts room when he's got like staff development and stuff like that for a smaller scale. Obviously, the whole district can't come. We're not big enough for that. But he does smaller meetings, and he's like, I would just love to get off-site. Just a change of scenery for that.
Yeah.
So we talked about a lot of things. It's great. Definitely keep that relationship going.
Great.
I think that's all the updates I have. Did I miss something?
Grant. Your grant. Competitive grant.
Oh, grant?
Yeah, competitive grant.
Competitive grant. for the Prop 68 competitive grant, which is the Clipper Drive one, I made a phone call. Got a voicemail. The very next day, they sent out an email, not specifically about that. It was about other grants, but if you scrolled all the way down to the bottom, they had a caption in there that the competitive grant will now be announced in the fall.
Oh, like 2022?
It just said
or
in
right
the fall.
Now.
So my thing is,
sorry,
it's fall.
Technically, we're fall.
100%. To me, that
technically
means
not
December
winter
22nd is
winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I never got a return call. So now the update from them is fall. So we're interpreting that as now.
Like the next 6 weeks.
Correct. Fingers crossed. So we're still.
So how does the Cornell Park grant work, though?
I think you got a notice, right?
Mm-hmm.
We submitted everything, got approval for that. They sent a contract, so that's being reviewed just to make sure everything is good. And then as soon as we sign the contract and start going off our list and getting that done, that's very exciting. And we put together a blurb kind of a little teaser just to inform people, and we put that on Facebook and Instagram, letting folks know that we did get this and look forward to 2022 upgrades to Cornell Park.
I think it would be cool to do some similar signages that we, as we did on Discovery Bay Boulevard.
We talked about that.
I feel
that.
Like
yeah.
That was, I mean, I think we got a good response from that, and you know, it's just, it's nice to kind of see, like, guess what's coming, even if it's just a small sign.
Like the long signs.
Yeah, like even at the entrances of both of them, or maybe over by the park, just to.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
Give people notice that we're not just sitting on it, it's coming, we're in the process.
Right.
Yep.
Get excited.
Yep.
Or something bigger than a lawn sign that you could actually read.
Or something like that.
Well, the point is, as you drive down Discovery Boulevard, I see the long, you can't exactly read them. I mean, you know something's about to happen, but anything more than a split second, you're running a risk of
traffic. I mean, if you're walking there, I mean, there's a lot of people that are walking and taking their kids there and walking their dogs, so they would see that, and, you know, then when you start tearing it up, it's not.
Right,
it's like, whoa, what's going on?
Right.
They know it's coming.
Yep. Yeah, and what's great about the Facebook and Instagram is we can take pictures along the way, and we can post that and look at the progress today, and, you know, so.
Do a before and after.
Yeah.
Joanne Chip type of.
So. Oh, I have before pictures, that's for sure, because we had to actually submit those to them so they can see them.
Yeah.
So. They do a giant picture and then they open it up.
I know.
Is that what you kind of think?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Okay. It's not that hard, right? They make it look easy.
No, thank you, Monica.
A lot of exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, then moving forward, we'll go to E1.
Right, so since we're changing, daylight savings is coming, we thought it would be great to put safety tips when walking at night. So we, Executive Admin Maddie Cabrera created this for us, and so we posted it on the website already, and now we're going to blast it out through Facebook and Instagram. Just little tips about walking at night and safety. You know, just to remind people to be careful when walking. Okay?
Nice.
That's awesome.
Okay. Two?
Okay. So I asked, well, I went walking with, or driving around with landscape manager Bill Engelman, and I also did a walk around at community center with Monica, and so I asked them to come up with some concepts and ideas to present to you guys. So Bill is going to present his concept for landscape medians in Discovery Bay Point, Discovery Point, and Willow Lake.
Okay, good afternoon. Just slide down the sheets.
Yep, we got it. All
right. So slide one, just give you a little background of what I was thinking. So when I asked to look into developing a new dryscape for Willow Lake Island, I kind of zoomed out the scale a little bit and thought it'd be interesting to look at the medians in Zone 8 as a whole. They come up with a consistent theme among its entirety. So after looking at some of the islands and thinking a little deeper on what we can do beyond just a dryscape look, I separated the islands out into potential for active use spaces versus dryscape only spaces. So the size of four of the islands and their location makes it possible to create active space. And by active space, I don't mean basketball courts or soccer. I mean, you know, gazebo, shade structure, benches, trash cans, that kind of amenities. And then those smaller islands could, again, just be the regular dryscape-only theme. So looking at slide two, so this is kind of where I divided the potential use spaces versus the dryscape-only spaces. And as we look at the map, the orange circles indicate kind of those active use spaces. And adding some of those neighborhood pocket parks, so to speak, makes, you know, gathering areas more accessible to many different homes. And then as we look at the size of those active use spaces, you know, we could potentially add an acre and a half of park amenities to the community. And then again, some of the smaller areas like Lido, Laguna, and South Point just become that dryscape theme that we've continued in the town as well. And then looking at the last slide, so in looking at the design for potential active spaces as kind of one unit, we can start building a consistent amenity structure in terms of the types of benches, the types of shade structures, gazebos, maybe art, and then use that consistent theme on some of the dryscape palette that we've already used. And then those, again, those dryscape only spaces using that palette of materials that we've already began. You know, if this idea has some potential to move forward, you know, we could dig a little deeper, do a design on Willow Lake, see what that might look like, and then come up with some rough numbers.
So just for calibration, because it's been a little while,
yeah.
And this might be a Julie question, but so financially, do we have enough money to complete the Discovery Bay Islands that you're currently working on? Is that already factored in?
That is a CIP project, and yes, we have that.
And I bet that money's coming from the fact that we didn't have the pool open or something?
No, it was just in our CIP budget. You know, we planned it through the year, so.
Got it. But beyond that project, though, would any future project be then additional funds from something?
Something.
Okay. I love some of your ideas here.
I think they're awesome. I like the mixture of art and seating. I think it would be cool if we could do some local artists, maybe, of Discovery Bay to kind of bring that element in as well.
Again, just getting a consistent theme in terms of not just designing one space.
Sure.
And the next space.
Yeah.
I guess part of me is also thinking about being cognitive of the totality of who gets to take advantage of these
spaces.
You know, and so as you look at like number 3 at the end of Cabrillo or end of 2, you know, I have to also think how many homes are there versus, you know, number 1 Willow Lake, which is a half acre and nonstop traffic. So. I kind of look at that as a higher, you know.
I agree with you.
So to me, that's, you know, more of a precedent to me as far as when you're putting your stuff together, thinking about where you want to allocate the funds and how much, you know, to different areas.
Right. So if 1 through 4 there, you could start kind of getting them in order in terms of who they're going to best benefit or the amount of people they're going to best benefit. Right. So Willow Lake, that's correct.
I think any of these. If we can make it active space, I think one thing that I notice the most, no matter what time of day it is, people are always out riding bikes with their kids, walking with their dogs, you know, whatever. I think if any of these spaces can become a little bit better for them to, A, be a little bit safer because they can walk through an island and not in the middle of the street, and then add a community flair to it, I think it's a great idea, rather than just icicle plants. You know, or now we have it, it looks great, but it's not really useful. Yeah.
I'm not sure how crazy of a question this is, but adding parking. So, as an example, like the tot lot, there's no place people park.
Right.
I don't know if we get awarded that Clipper Drive project, we're able to cut a section out for people, for moms and stuff to park their cars. And
I see, yeah.
Is that... I don't know if you guys have experience with that. Is that like asking God from the county? Or
the shoulder there that you can, in theory, park on?
Well, I use the tot lot as an example because there's nothing there
besides
a shoulder.
So parks like this are more walking parks, right? It's not a regional archer community park.
Yeah. Could you do maybe bike parking or... bike racks, or, you know, I know we're talking later on in the agenda about golf cart parking, but we are a heavy golf cart community. You know, maybe those are some things to kind of incorporate into what we're doing. And the half acres, pretty big.
Yeah. I think that's great. Okay, so what would you like us? Would you like us to move forward with creating a design and bringing that back with some costs?
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah.
We'll start with Willow Lake.
Yeah.
I think Willow Lake could be a showcase spot for you.
No, it's a good traffic, and then you're right that there's a lot of homes around there.
There's a lot of homes around there. Obviously, the park's 2 feet away from it, but so it doesn't have to be...
Well, the people are walking to the park then, right?
Yeah.
So they're walking through the space.
I'd love to see, too, I know I already mentioned it, but like maybe tapping into some of our local artists, seeing if it's something that they, you know, where you're going to put that art, if we can maybe, do a contest or whatever to get some input on that. I think anytime you can do some of that buys a little bit more ownership and excitement.
Right. Yeah, and then ultimately, as you said, you know, then creating a central theme that could be done on other areas that,
so to speak.
You know,
And I would think it looks like you've done a nice job in your presentation of stuff being long, you know, the long life of it, you know,
right.
Stone seeds, stuff like that. Thinking about that too,
right.
How's
so
it going to wear over
kind of
the rain and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suspect none of this is inexpensive, though.
Similar size to the Boulevard Islands, but then when you start talking about amenities.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. I'm looking forward to
this
seeing.
This is great. This is exciting.
All right, then I'll bring Monica to kind of walk through her concepts now, her ideas.
No, I like it because to me it's an inexpensive improvement. You know, I think it'd be inexpensive, fairly.
Well, I've actually met with the conservation corps last week and went over some of these ideas with him. And so I a little bit prematurely asked him to give me some, kind of hoping he would like it, just some rough numbers as to what something like this would cost for them. We could probably do some of it ourselves. The leveling out, because there is a slight raise to that dirt area, so getting that leveled out. You know, painting the wood on the fence there is a very splintered, unattractive green, so maybe we can brighten all that up, which would be inexpensive, by painting it black and even freshening up the wrought iron there.
It's pretty
long
ways. I think it's a great idea and a good use of time and a fairly simple way to fix something.
Are you fine with me moving forward and actually getting pricing on this?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Do you have any other questions on that one?
How many spaces do you think it would be, approximately?
I'm trying to think how many we have there for. I don't know. I wouldn't want to guess 10, maybe?
That's not bad.
Yeah, I think it was, like, when we did Summer Jam, I think there were, like, 4 to 5, and then another against the fence, or maybe 4 or 5. But do you remember, Mike? Yeah. Somewhere around there.
Well, we've had
so
some big,
we're 8 to 10.
Yeah, we had some big years that were a lot of carts out there. So.
Yeah. So, but I think if we like clean that area up and we level it, and we could probably squeeze it, you know, make it a little bit more organized. Right now, they're just coming in and.
You can probably put them at an angle.
Yeah.
Instead of pulling straight in.
Right.
To allow for multiple.
You do party jumps like I do.
Does the court? Do we have to pay them at prevailing wages?
And it's such a great, they were here today, so they're learning
skills.
And skills.
No, I think it's a great idea, and like to see, yeah, see some pricing on that.
The next concept and idea, again, very rough, that I'd like to share with you that we had talked about a few meetings ago is the wall ball area here at the community center. You can see I included pictures of front and back of what it looks like right now, what it could potentially look like. It does get used every day. So since I had the core out here, I kind of showed him that idea as well, and just, I don't have anything yet. I told him I was presenting, so I don't want to, until I kind of get the okay, you know, I don't want
to. Well, you already brought this up to us, and we said, I think at a previous meeting that.
Right.
We thought it was good for you to get some pricing.
Right. So, you know, there are some cracks, so we can grind those down, and there's a product out there that you can pour over it. I did it actually back at the back barbecue area a few years ago that fixes that, so you don't have to actually remove it all. So we can do that. And then paint the ground and the backboard for both tennis and pickleball. And both sides, because you can see in that picture, you can only use one side right now. So that was another idea of how to kind of freshen up and improve the community center.
Is there any way to incorporate some stuff for kids? I mean, I know we have a bunch of stuff for pickleball and tennis and stuff like that, but I think we're still missing a core group of stuff, and that's our teenagers. And our kids, I would say primarily teenagers, I mean, they're running around right now, riding bikes, doing stuff like that. And so I think it would be nice if at some point we could come up with a concept for the kids that are here that kind of keeps them safe, off of the streets, off of the sidewalks, off of our businesses.
Yeah, I actually have a couple of kids that come and use that area with their soccer ball.
Yeah. I'm just thinking more like overall, right? Like I think about my kids and what they're doing. They're getting on their bikes. They're riding all over the place. They're getting on their scooters. They're getting on their golf carts. You know, if they had a place where they could come, even if it's a dirt field that they can build up ramps and stuff, it's safer for them to go ride that at a place like here with their friends and their buddies and their bikes than, you know, over behind Safeway by the dumpsters.
Right. Yeah, and hopefully if we get Clipper Drive, we had a whole section there also that we were anticipating for exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. That we put in the proposal.
I'm just saying, like, this is the community center, and we're focusing a lot on the older part of the community, which is awesome and great. I would like to see us incorporate some of our younger community, too, because it's a big portion of our community, if possible.
Yeah.
But do you have something specific in mind?
I mean, something that involves bikes, skateboards, you know, something that they can come in.
The problem with bikes and skateboards, by bringing them on the property, is they become a danger to the other people that are using the property. And I've had that experience before in other parks in Brentwood. So you have to, it's a balancing act. Now, if there was a separate entrance for them and it was fenced, and now you're talking about some greater expense, et cetera. Part of the consideration has to be these kids are not thinking safety when they're riding their bikes, their skateboards, and things like that nature, when they're intermingling with the pedestrians or the people using the courts or people taking their dogs to the dog park. So it's just a factor to consider.
Then I think that we need to think more ride. Maybe we give them a separate entrance, we do something like that. But it's safer for them to come here.
No,
than it is
him.
For them to be riding their bikes across Discovery Bay Boulevard or, you know, in private property.
No,
that's not theirs. You know what I mean?
100%. I just don't know where we would do, like, what part of the land property would be...
We have space over here. We have space over
if
there.
If we do the building...
We can take a look at it. Let
I
us,
guess
let
I'm
us
just asking for it to put in your thought process
yep,
when we're looking at this stuff because it is a community that has a bunch of kids. And another part of that is, like, we're looking for lakes and lakeshore and stuff like that. I mean, they have a little bit of that, but some of those kids are going to school over here and doing stuff like that. And I just think we need to be more inclusive of what activities we're doing.
And Mike, is there a higher level of liability for the town if when we started having those type of amenities?
I don't know that it's a liability, but you're going to have injuries and you're going to have complaints. So people that are, you know, if you start intermingling the skateboards and the bikes with dogs and people that are trying to use the tennis courts and the pickleball courts, et cetera, once you have an intermingling of that with something that's mobile, then you've created an atmosphere where you have safety at issue. If you can separate that, like if you go to Brentwood, the skate park is completely separate from everything else. And there is no bike park designed for bike use with jumps and things of that nature. And a lot of it was for that very reason. So if there is space available and you wanted to do something like that, it's no more, you know, we worried about liability with the skate park in Brentwood, and it really hasn't become an issue because of how well it was planned. It was also used at your own risk. It's not monitored. And there's other considerations that reduce the exposure to liability. But I don't think it's a big issue unless you start intermingling.
I was just curious. Obviously, we're not even talking about the cost factor of putting something like that in. But
maybe it's something, too, like in your conversations with Dr. Reyes, have him get some input from some of the kids that are out here. And it could even be something, Monica, where, you know, like maybe we figure out a way to do more concerts in the park or movies and stuff like that that involves the kids coming here, but there's a space for them to
I'm
do
getting
that.
There.
You know what I mean? I just think it's all the way around. It's good for our community, and I think it prevents them from, you know, kind of getting in trouble and causing issues with businesses and stuff like that. If they have kind of a place where they can be safe and not do craziness.
Because one of the next things that, like, you're in my head right now. So
okay. I just want to throw it out there and, like,
so
have it be part of our thought process.
So if I could summarize, basically you're challenging Monica to come up with some stuff for kids that we can add to our repertoire for,
okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Great. So one moment, I would like to ask if there's any public comment on the first four items that we discussed, safety tips for walking at night, the landscape median concepts for Discovery Point and Willow Lake, the golf cart parking, or the wall ball at the community center.
Okay, hearing none, I apologize. When there's no one else in the audience, sometimes you forget about public comments. So then moving forward to open space concept.
Okay, so the gathering area is the area just in front, and you can see in your picture of the wall ball. This is the current condition. So one of the ideas, and I want to point out that behind the wall ball is our community garden. Which in the winter months especially is really difficult for them to get to because they're walking through, this whole area will flood when we get a lot of rain, so they can't get to it very easily. So the section up against the chain link fence, you know, perhaps we can do some sort of, and these are just examples, of like a kind of meandering path or walkway to get them there. That would be also visually beautiful to look at. And then take that area, that open area, and do like a concrete finish where we, with some shade sails or something along those lines. So the area can be used in the summer. We can put tables out there and there's shade and people can picnic while they're swimming or after they're playing tennis or golf or the dog park. We could still allow it to have food trucks put there when we have events, so that could be our food court. But the other thing I thought of was it would also be a great area to do our movies in the park. on the concrete, not the grass, because in the summer, again, before pandemic, when we had movies six a summer, the irrigation has to get turned off a week before, which makes the grass turn brown. It's really hard to keep that grass green in the summer because with all the events, we're constantly turning off the sprinklers. So this would be an area where we could also do, like I said, the movies in the park, concerts for kids to come, bands, things like that. So that's why when you said that, that's where I was going. Okay. I was like, that's kind of...
That's awesome.
A good gathering spot for any age and can be utilized for all kinds of different things. So that is one idea for that area. Do you have any questions about that?
So like the walkways and stuff, would that go and then instead of having like planter boxes, there would just be areas where they are doing their garden stuff that they can rent out? Or will the planter boxes still stay?
Oh, no, they stay. They're behind. You can't even see them in the picture.
Okay, so this is, like, on your way to the community.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. It's difficult for them
to get there.
And it's very popular.
So if we did nothing at all as far as improving it, do we need to fix the irrigation back there or the drainage back there?
That used to be a sand volleyball area, so when we first bought this.
But there's no lighting or anything for them. So if they go to the community garden area at dusk, and they're back there when it's dark.
Well, no, they wouldn't, because when it's dark, it's closed. But I'm just meaning more when it's raining and the area's flooded in the morning. The gardeners are usually there first thing in the morning. But just getting...
There's
there
a gardener.
Through the weeds and the mud when it's like right now is.
It would just be a nicer look overall, I think.
But are you saying though, in redesigning, you would fix the drainage at the same time, or this would?
Yeah, because if you pour concrete, right, like
it's not sitting in the mud.
That's the problem. So we need a pathway.
Yeah.
Right, and then when you're doing that, we would have to tie in to drainage because they would have for us besides that grant. We'd absolutely have to put in drainage. And this is one idea. I mean, this is why we're talking. I mean, you know, the more brains putting this together, the better. You're going to have an idea that I didn't think of. But it's a good conversation starter to show one idea of what this space can be utilized for. That wouldn't impede on if we do ever expand over here. You know, that side wouldn't. Probably change much. So that was the thought behind that.
No, it's a great idea.
It.
Yeah, it's a nice idea. I think. Is there any public comment? Hearing none. We'll close public comment. I know I like all these ideas, and I'm not trying. Your next one's going to also tie into this as well. I think ultimately we need to combine this with whatever expansion we do at the community center.
Right. We want to be thinking ahead and not putting money into something and being very aware and responsible about that.
I agree with that.
Yep.
So the next is the front landscaping at the community center. And again, please keep in mind this room very rough and also wanting to do something that we can improve, but considering that it could, you know, change in the future. So wanting to be financially responsible with it as well. So right now there's a lot of these shrubs that have just grown into one clump and it's a little unsightly. So the idea was to put up as a focal point, like a tree, that we could then kind of have a tradition here where this is like the community center. So at Christmas time, it can be festive. It can be a gathering spot for people and get community involved with that. Start having other events here at the holidays and really utilizing that space. Also keeping in mind that if we want to be uniform, staying with the themes that Bill has done. So that's why I pulled in a lot of the same plants and shrubs and things like that, so that everything is very uniform. Taking that area also and not filling it in with so much green, if it's going to be a spot where we want people to gather, say at the holiday time, we could put in a lot more big boulders. Mm-hmm. But you can also use the seating, using a lot of the rock and perhaps like benches, kind of along the walkway. So you can sit if people are out there coming, parents waiting for their kids in tap dance. There's places where they can sit out there. And enjoy. That's what I have for you.
I love it.
Yeah, no, it's awesome ideas.
Great ideas.
Any public comments? All right, hearing done, close public comment.
So
would you like Monica to move forward with these ideas and come up with some more solid concepts and prices for them all? Or would you like her to start with one? What do you think? We kind of just threw some ideas out for you to kind of look at. We are thinking ahead. What's your thought?
For me, I think at this point, let's keep it small. Okay. And maybe just look at the wall board, what do we call it? And possibly the little parking for the golf carts.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know you want small, but I think the front of the community center is a huge eyesore. So maybe looking at that as well.
I agree, though. But if the town moves forward with expanding and putting the offices there, we'd probably end up doing a whole revamp of the front entrance.
You know what I could do is...
Did you do like a progressive of it?
I'm sorry?
Like a progressive, like... I don't know.
No, that's okay. What I was going to suggest is if you move forward on the wall ball and the golf cart to get something a little more solid, but a way that maybe could simply improve a little bit, we can see, is I'm actually going to be having the court here doing some work at the community center other than just the regular maintenance. Everything is so overgrown, even just having them come and remove a lot of that stuff might open it up, and we can see them. It needs to be done regardless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And kind of see what it looks like from there. And then go, yeah, let's work the rest of it out. Hey, this made a little bit of a difference.
I can ask this offline. Awesome.
No, I agree. Yeah, that's a good idea. Like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank
you. So you have the right direction from us, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. Thank you.
It's clear as mud.
Perfect. Do we have any future agenda items? Okay, hearing done. 5:17. Meeting adjourned.